Picture a nervous scientist clutching a letter in the Oval Office. It's October 1939, and Alexander Sachs has come to deliver Albert Einstein's warning. Nazi Germany might build extremely powerful bombs of a new type. President Roosevelt's response was immediate. "Alex, what you are after is to see that the Nazis don't blow us up." With a simple command, "This requires action," the atomic age began. But the weapon developed to stop Hitler would instead end a different war, one fought with a ferocity that made Europe's battlefields look civilized. This is the story of how America faced an enemy that preferred death to surrender, and the impossible choice that followed. The Pacific War shattered American assumptions about combat. On Peleliu in September 1944, Colonel Kunio Nakagawa transformed the island into an elaborate death trap. Hidden mortars, camouflaged spider traps, and 500 caves filled with soldiers who would never surrender. The samurai code of Bushido forbade it. Do not survive in shame as a prisoner. Die to ensure that you do not leave ignominy behind you. After 2 months of fighting, it took 13 million bullets and 150,000 mortar rounds, roughly 1,500 rounds per enemy soldier killed. Nakagawa committed ritual suicide rather than face capture. As American forces pushed closer to Japan's home islands, a terrifying question emerged. If Japan fought this desperately for a small island, how many Americans would die invading the homeland? Military planners estimated casualties could reach 500,000. While his soldiers died by the thousands, Emperor Hirohito lived a surprisingly mundane existence. Standing just 5 feet 5 inches, the nearsighted, absent-minded emperor rose at 7 each morning for oatmeal and black bread. Yet behind this ordinary facade lived a man deeply complicit in extraordinary atrocities. When Japanese forces captured Nanking in December 1937, Hirohito pronounced himself deeply satisfied as soldiers executed 90,000 Chinese troops and raped 80,000 women. Half of Nanking's 600,000 citizens were murdered or violated, while the Japanese public celebrated. Japan's expansion was driven by necessity. Lacking natural resources, it invaded Manchuria in 1937, fighting under Hakko Ichiu, the belief that all Asia must unite under one emperor. When Roosevelt embargoed oil sales in 1940, Japan had only 6 months of fuel reserves. The embargo accelerated war rather than preventing it. On November 8, 1941, Hirohito approved detailed plans for a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. By 1944, as American forces closed in, the emperor publicly appeared as a man of peace, while privately declaring his intention to remain in this divine land and fight to the death. His divine status made surrender unthinkable, even as his nation starved. Harry Truman was at Speaker Sam Rayburn's happy hour on April 12, 1945, when an urgent call interrupted. He left so hastily, he forgot his hat, a telling detail in an era when no gentleman went outdoors bareheaded. At the White House, Eleanor Roosevelt delivered the news: "Harry, the president is dead." Her response to his offer of help proved prescient. "Is there anything we can do for you? For you are the one in trouble now." Truman inherited not just the presidency, but the burden of ending the war. By April 24th, Secretary of War Henry Stimson briefed him on the Manhattan Project, a weapon capable of obliterating an entire city. At Los Alamos, Robert Oppenheimer consumed 5 packs of cigarettes daily, his weight dropping to 115 pounds as he drove toward the Trinity test in New Mexico's Jornada del Muerto Desert, Journey of Death. As the test approached, Oppenheimer quoted the Bhagavad Gita, "Now I am become death, the shatterer of worlds." This terrible power would soon rest in Truman's hands alone. 5,000 miles from Los Alamos, Marines battled through monsoon-soaked Okinawa, just 400 miles from Tokyo. The battlefield was a hellscape of constant shelling and rotting corpses. Private First Class Desmond Doss, a conscientious objector who refused to carry weapons, rescued 75 wounded men during a retreat, lowering them down a cliff one by one under Japanese fire. After 82 days, Okinawa fell on June 23, 1945, over 20,000 Americans dead. As battle raged, former Japanese Prime Minister Koki Hirota met Soviet Ambassador Yakov Malik on June 24, desperately seeking Russian help negotiating peace. After midnight, Hirota finally admitted Japan seeks an early peace, but Malik remained impassive. Peace does not depend upon Russia. Unknown to Hirota, Stalin had already promised to attack Japan within 3 months. Meanwhile, on July 16th, the Trinity test detonated with brightness so intense it penetrated closed eyelids, creating a 40,000-foot fireball and turning desert sand to green glass. The weapon was ready. The USS Indianapolis departed San Francisco carrying a mysterious 15-foot crate and small cylinder, the atomic bomb components. After delivering its cargo to Tinian Island on July 27th, the cruiser steamed toward the Philippines unescorted. Captain Charles McVeigh had ceased defensive zigzagging, and hatches remained open against the stifling heat. At 12:02 a.m. on July 30, Japanese submarine I-58 fired 6 torpedoes. Indianapolis sank in 12 minutes. Over 800 men entered oil-covered water with only a dozen life rafts. Their SOS was never received. Then, the sharks appeared. For 4 days, survivors endured blinding sun, desperate thirst, hallucinations, and relentless shark attacks. Lieutenant Wilbur Gwynn accidentally spotted them during routine patrol. Lieutenant Adrian Marks defied regulations and landed in rough seas, rescuing 56 men before his plane was damaged beyond repair. Of over 800 men in the water, only 317 survived. 23 years later, haunted by guilt, Captain McVeigh ended his life with his service revolver. At Potsdam in July 1945, Truman faced the most terrible formula in the history of the world. Believing invasion could cost 500,000 American casualties, he authorized the bomb, yet rather than issuing a direct order, he let military plans proceed, attempting to distance himself from the moral weight. On August 6, 1945, the Enola Gay dropped Little Boy on Hiroshima. At 8:15, 17 a.m., it detonated with the force of 20,000 tons of TNT, creating a fireball over 1,000,000 degrees. Within seconds, 70,000 people were dead. Everyone within a mile radius simply vanished. Survivors suffered horrific burns, their skin hanging like rugs. 16-year-old Akira Onogi abandoned a trapped mother as fires approached, her daughter crying for help, an image that would haunt him forever. Emperor Hirohito maintained silence. 3 days later, Fat Man killed 45,000 in Nagasaki. Finally, Hirohito declared it was time to bear the unbearable. On August 15th, the Japanese people heard their emperor's voice for the first time. Nearly 3 years later, Truman summoned pilot Paul Tibbets to the Oval Office. After a long silence, he asked, "What do you think?" Tibbets replied, "Mr. President, I think I did what I was told." Truman slapped his desk. "You're damn right you did, and I'm the guy who sent you." The atomic bombs ended the war, but opened a Pandora's box that can never be closed.